Coming to you from 6 feet under Toledo, Ohio. This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, me and her.
What's up?
Joe and Jen are back in the studio.
Back again, players.
Yeah.
After player, I just crush a lot.
After a wild show last week.
Oh, man.
People are still talking about it.
They're going to talk about it for centuries.
Yeah. And we made Jeff a deal that if we get 1 million downloads on that show, we'll buy him a beer at Michigan Paracon.
There you go.
So, folks, please share the dog knickers out of it.
Yes, for sure.
Let's see if we can get this.
And it was our 150th show.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. What an incredible feat, Joe, in the podcast world to get to 150 shows.
Like 90% of the podcasts that start up fail after the seventh episode.
Wow. You know who we need to get on the show? Dave Jackson.
Yeah.
The School of Podcasting. Talk about paranormal podcasting.
We should. I never thought to reach out for him.
Ask him tonight. We'll ask him after the show. All right. But yeah, you know, like that was an incredible interview with Jeff. He's so interesting. And I felt like I was stumbling over my words because I was a little starstruck. But, you know, it is what it is, right? Yeah. If you guys get a chance, you know, check his website out. It's really cool. I was on it day before yesterday, just looking around.
Yeah. Or his podcast.
Yeah, the New England Legends podcast. And he's available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, just like us.
All the places.
Just like
us. He's everywhere.
Just like us. We're twins. Twin flames.
Twin flames.
Podcast for twin flames. But anyways, speaking of flames.
Hey, I like that.
I segued so smoother than a fresh jar of Jif, because we like Jif, not Skippy. But anyways, we have this.
Isn't
really
Jif part of the Mandela effect?
I have no idea.
It used to be Jiffy, and now it's just Jif.
No, it's Jiffy Pop.
Oh.
Did you ever eat Jiffy Pop popcorn?
I don't know.
I would, but I don't have an oven that works, so. Lightning struck my house 6 going on 7 years ago, and my oven hasn't worked in 6 and 7 years.
You know, grandma shakes a lot.
Yeah.
And when the doctor, you know, the doctor asked her, well, do you drink a lot of coffee? She says, no, I spill most of it. But that reminded me of, because she's great with the Jiffy Pop. She shakes.
Oh, geez Louise. Oh, my God, you guys. It's a wonder I'm not an alcoholic having a brother like this.
Why is there a bottle of wine in the studio?
Oh, I wish there was. There isn't. Just a Diet Mountain Dew, half warm, half drink. But I should. Yeah, Joe and I are the snack masters.
Chocolate bugles.
Yeah, the chocolate peanut butter bugles. We are the snack masters, so you know we always have our snacks. That's why we weigh 850 pounds, and we're gonna go see Dr. Nawazi or whatever his name is, my 600-pound life, and we don't stop pretty soon.
Well, I did get on the bike, and I went for a bike ride yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was just going to the end of the University Park Trail, and then I turned. And next thing I know, I'm in this, they call it Mayberry. It's like a made-up town.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a housing development with stores.
It's kind of cute.
And they were having a car show, so I walked the bike through there, and then riding back, I missed the turn and ended up going on a 13-mile bike ride.
Way to go, Joe. You look skinny.
But it felt good.
You look skinny. It felt good.
Yeah, I lost a lot of weight on that bike ride.
Joe put together my treadmill.
Oh, yeah, the pink treadmill.
And guess what? I haven't been on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, I'm dying now. One. Yeah, smoke them if you got them.
Speak about smoke.
Smoke.
Segue.
It's going downhill real fast, but I love it. So we have this interesting story that Joe and I came across, and you guys probably heard it. It's one of those legendary legend stories. It's just something that we find fascinating because we love those stories that you don't know where they started or how the legend came about and why it is. But it's got some merit to it.
Yeah.
We have the story of the crying boy painting. And Joe says, we got to do a show on this. I'm like, Oh my gosh, I had heard about this, I think, honestly, back in the day on In Search Of. Do you remember that Leonard Nimoy show? Mm-hmm. I think it was on that, or it might have been Unsolved Mysteries. I can't remember. But I remember hearing about this a long time ago. Like,
do you know how John Tenney says that paranormal things happen every day? They're called coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Facebook, believe it or not. And
shut
up.
I've never been on there.
One of the paranormal teams posted about the crying boy paintings on Facebook today.
Like they're reading our minds.
Yes, the mind melts.
The mind. Yeah, losing my mind, but you know, that's a whole other show right now.
Tell me a little bit about the crying boy.
So in the 1950s, there was a man named Giovanni Braglione or Bruno Amato. It's kind of like this like mythy legend, like they don't really know the exact name of the artist. But he started this series of paintings depicting a young boy crying. Now, as I'm doing my research, I'm seeing many different versions mm-hmm. of this painting, or, you know, different boys crying. It's like they all have sad eyes or big eyes.
He painted 65 different versions.
Yeah. And the legend is that in the, you know, this, it has this tie to this, to our paranormal community, which we're all part of. Obviously, if you're listening to the show, you might like some ghosty things, right? And the legend is that these paintings are haunted, or they have paranormal ties to them. And, you know, it's just an interesting case because there's so many older paintings that are hundreds of years mm-hmm. older, that you would think that maybe they have a ghost tied to them. Maybe they do.
Maybe they do. There's a lot of them that
do. But these particular ones is just so sad looking. These little boys and their pouty lips. And
they're crying.
And their little disheveled hair and their tears running down their face. And it gets me, you know.
Oh.
The mama bear in me. Even though I don't have any bears. But that's a whole other story. That's a whole other podcast.
Oh, okay.
But these paintings have reportedly been associated with at least, and this is the low number, mm-hmm. 5 houses being destroyed by fire, yet none of the paintings burnt.
Yeah. So, yeah, there were several cities in England. Okay, so Nottingham, Surrey, Kilburn, Norfolk, even in the Isles of Wight,
mm-hmm.
there were several fires where the fire department said that everything burnt except the paintings. And it's, you know, I mean, I know you said a number, but I think that's really low because there's accounts of this happening all over the place. And the thing is, though, I mean, granted, there were 65 originals,
mm-hmm.
but there were thousands and thousands of copies made. So is it a coincidence or is it haunted?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about some of the stories that came about.
All right.
Okay. So in Nottingham, a family lost their home to a vicious fire and narrowly escaped, right? They had this painting in their house. Everything burnt except for the painting.
Yeah.
Odd, right?
Yeah.
Strange. In Surrey, England, 6 months after the woman purchased the painting, she lost her entire home in the fire except for the painting.
Yeah.
Wow. Right? In Kilburn, which you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
2 sisters experienced paranormal activity in connection with the painting. So they had multiple fires break out at their house. And one of the sisters had described the painting as swaying back and forth.
Oh.
But it didn't burn.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. I mean, how do you have multiple fires break out in your house, right? Like if it happens first time, you're going to check everything out, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's check the electrical. Fireplace, you know, stuff in the attic, you know, because like, remember when we had our fire? Okay, you guys don't know this, but I don't think we ever brought it up in the show. But when we were kids, mm-hmm. our house caught on fire.
Yeah.
And tell everybody why.
It got hit by ball lightning. And, you know, I don't remember much of it.
Mm-hmm. But there was a giant bird's nest, right? In the attic.
Yeah. That
it went through the, you know, what, didn't we have like a TV tower or something up?
Yeah, okay, so someone back in the apartment said that they saw a ball of lightning travel down the TV tower, went into the vent at the top of the house and into the bird's nest. Well, I mean, they didn't see it go into, but it went into the bird's nest, and that caught on fire, which caught the attic on fire, which caused...
It was right above your bedroom.
Yeah.
He didn't have a crying boy painting, though. No. He did have a painting of a pool table on his wall, though.
Yeah, me and Jeff Cousineau painted a 3D as if there was another room off that room. There was a pool table in there.
Don't you want to take the paint and down and look at your painting again?
On the other side, I had a picture of Garfield that I painted.
I forgot about the Garfield.
Leaning against an amp with a bass guitar. That was back when I was cool.
Commercial art, Whitmer, 1985.
That's right. 84.
Oh, 84. 84.
Commercial art, which didn't teach us nothing.
Taught you how to paint a 3D pool table on your wall.
One of the things that we
bedroom.
Had to do was write with a quill pen and make letters. And that really helped out in the right after we graduated when all the computer stuff came into play. Okay, so back to this painting.
But your painting didn't burn, Joe.
No. And it wasn't that great. I was the crying boy after I saw it.
Well, the whole point of that was that all you mofos booked it out of the house and left me in there.
Oh, did we? I don't remember.
Yeah, you guys don't remember leaving me in there and the house is on fire and I'm like, and then the fireman came and rescued me. That's like the second time you guys left me in a fire because the camper caught on fire one time and you mofos left me in the camper while it was on fire on the side of the road.
It's kind of a trend, isn't it?
And you wonder why I'm so messed up. Okay.
Yeah.
Norfolk, London.
Oh, okay.
A restaurant was destroyed in a fire. In the fire, there were ashes of several paintings except for the intact crying boy painting.
And this is, like we say, these are just the accounts that are noted. There's got to be accounts that nobody...
Right. And those these were the 1950s. So, you know, people who were buying art at that time, cheap art, I guess. I'm sure they weren't that expensive, but those people are probably all passed on and probably didn't... Oh, my God. People are going to find these paintings in their grandparents' attics.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they have.
Oh, we need one. Yeah, just mail us your crying boy painting.
So
only if it's haunted, right?
One of the things that they say is the reason why these don't burn.
Okay.
Lots of times they say it's because the paintings were actually painted on a hard pressed board that was resistant to fire. They also said that he put a shellac on them that was resistant to fire. Now, in 1985... there was a newspaper called the Daily Newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
It was a daily newspaper called The Sun.
Mm, yeah.
And in there, they had a couple articles, Blazing Curse of the Crying Boy.
Uh-huh.
And they had a thing where they talked about all the curses and everything. And they actually had a painting burning party where they, on Halloween, they made a huge bonfire, and everybody brought their crying boy paintings, and they threw them in the fire.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they say, you know, the reason the artist painted these was because it was right after World War II, and trying to capture that, you know, the sadness of the children of the world, and, you know, think about sadness of children and war and devastation. You know, England was very devastated. You know, most of Europe was by the war. People lost loved ones. You know, I mean, it's war.
Yeah.
You're going to have a ton of imprint of spirits that just instantly die. Where does that go? Where do they go?
Yeah.
Maybe into a crying boy painting.
So another thing, though, another theory of the boy and the reason why this artist painted the boy. Okay. So... he adopted a boy named Don Bonillo, B-O-N-I-L-L-O. I know I'm killing that name.
Yeah.
We'll just call him Don.
All right. Don, short.
Yeah. But anyhow, this boy was known as the devil child because when he was in the orphanage, everywhere he went, there were fires. Okay.
Oh.
So the artist adopted him. And a lot of, you know, at the orphanage, they said, don't adopt him. He's, you know, a bad kid and all that. I mean, why would the orphanage for one? But because of all the fires and all that, and they called him the devil boy.
Man, that poor kid. Yeah. It sounds like that story Damien or Omen or whatever it is.
I wonder if this was the inspiration for the movie.
It could have been, really.
So, anyhow.
Which I've never seen that movie, by the way. We need to watch some scary movies. The old time ones.
Yeah.
And laugh.
So, he adopted this boy. And he felt so bad for the kids in the orphanage. And he felt so bad for this boy that he started painting these paintings. That's the other story that I've heard. And like I said, everywhere this boy went, there were fires. So he adopted him, brought him into his house. He lived with him for a while. But then the artist's house caught on fire. Okay.
How apropos, right?
Yeah. Okay, so his house catches on fire. So what's he do? He kicks the kid out.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. He kicks the boy out of the house because he thinks that the boy caused the fire. All right. Now, years go by, okay, and all these paintings are out there, and it's all related with fires, like we said many times. So years go by, okay, and in Barcelona, there was a car crash, okay? The car caught on fire. The person driving burnt beyond recognition. They go in the glove box, find his ID, and the name on the ID is Don Bonillo. That same boy
was burnt
in a car wreck.
Wow.
He burnt, you know, burnt beyond recognition.
Wow.
So once again, there's that fire thing again.
You know, like, it's interesting because it wasn't until like 1985 that the story started resurfacing. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what happened in 1985. Did that boy die at that time?
I don't know. I don't know the year that he died. Hmm. But I think that the reason why it resurfaced in that year was because someone saw the coincidences of all these fires. And they wrote a story about it.
Well, it's interesting because they said many people had reported losing their homes to fires and claimed that was either after owning the painting or, you know, during owning the painting. People, they reported that they had anxiety, depression, anger, sadness just by studying or looking at the picture, which I get. I mean, it's a sad little child crying. Of course, you're going to feel sad about it, right? Because nobody wants to see little kids crying.
I don't.
Joe just loves his palm trees. He don't care about kids. Actually, Joe's the baby whisperer. Anytime one of the nieces or nephews or great nieces or nephews are over there, he's like, baby. And then the kids are just like, hey, I got you.
And I tell you, if a kid starts crying and screaming that, the best thing, just shake them a little bit. They'll stop.
Oh, hush. But anyways, people have also, who have owned these paintings, had... More than one person has reported that the paintings move on their own.
Okay.
They get thoughts of suicide and despair. And, you know, it's interesting because also with the amount of fires that are associated with this, you know, everybody's linking it to the paranormal. So how does an object move unless it's possessed, right? Unless it has spirit attachment or energy or what? I mean, something has to be in these photos or these paintings, right?
And, you know, I don't know if it's just the original 65 paintings, because remember, like you said, there were probably 5,000 copies of these made and sold all over Britain.
And they were saying, too, that they thought some of the paintings were of a young child that had died in a tragedy, and he was trapped inside of these paintings.
See, now that would make sense. Mm-hmm. You know?
Or that there was another one that the child had died in a fire, and his soul went into the painting.
Yeah.
And then there was another one where the family died, but the boy lived. And as the child grew up, like, misfortune followed him everywhere. I don't know who that child is.
So okay.
We didn't have that name, but... You know, just strange. So, you know, what was your thoughts when you looked at the picture?
You know, I always assume, I mean, I've known about this legend for years. And one thing that really caught my eye was I thought it was just one picture. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was just one picture, because I'm sure I've seen the several different versions of it, but to me, it was always one pitcher. I didn't know he made 65 of them.
Yeah. Interesting. Be cool to like look at all different ones. How? Okay. So say it is haunted. Okay. Say it is, has an attachment.
Yeah.
How does an attachment get into an object?
Well, there's a lot of different theories. Okay. One of the big theories is the stone tape theory.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
What it is. Okay. Let's say something super emotional happens, a murder, suicide, fires, okay. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's either
lightning strikes,
something either emotional or electrical.
Mm.
Okay, because we're all made of electricity, right. You know,
yeah.
At its core. And that's why what we think spirits are made of and dust. But
rabbit hole.
So anyways, the stone tape theory is we all know about quartz and granite and stuff, mm-hmm. how it can actually hold electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But other elements, wood, cloth, stuff like that, is all subject to the stone tape theory, even though it's called the stone tape theory. And that's why they think that residual hauntings happen, because the building or the object that the person is seen sitting in or the bed or whatever, mm-hmm. absorbs that energy and plays it over like a tape recording.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And I have actually heard that the FBI has ways of using like lasers. Let's say two people are talking next to a stone pillar. They walk away. They say, I don't know if it's true or not, yeah. but they say it's them over there. they say that they can shoot this laser into the beam and actually record what they were talking about. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that.
Doesn't sound too far-fetched.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they can read a license plate from space. Yeah. They can put thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
You know, like they can use sonic waves mm-hmm. to make you go nuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't we be able to pick up some kind of residual conversations? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like, I know that they have a thing where the laser will actually hit a window, and mm-hmm. because of the vibrations, the window can pick up what people are talking about inside.
Yeah.
You know, that's, but that's normal. I mean, that's just air moving and all that.
Yeah.
But the stone tape theory is that it, when a traumatic event or a death or whatever, you know, happens, mm-hmm. it can be absorbed into that object. And that's how objects become haunted. I mean, that's one theory. Another theory is there's a Japanese theory to where the Japanese believe that you can do a ritual and take someone's essence or soul and put that into an object.
Okay.
And there's another thing that Japanese folklore has, and that is called soul flames. Okay. And what that is, they believe that a dying person, his soul can actually come out of the body and go into an object in the room or whatever. And that's sort of like, I guess you would call it self-possession, because the person's doing it.
Are they, is the person aware that they're doing this, or is this somebody else directing when they pass away into it? I mean, somebody would have to be the conductor, right? Mm,
I think so, but it's a person who's near death.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't know if it's a person that is doing it on purpose of that, but they believe that the soul can leave the body and basically escape the body and go into an object. So they would have these objects near the body at the time of death so that their soul can go into this object.
Interesting.
Now, I do know that Greg and Dana have objects. Now, we'll get them on the show and we'll let them talk about their objects because it's amazing. But I know that they have objects in their possession where they don't think that the person knows that they're in an object.
Oh, that'd be sad if you're like trapped in a...
That's
like,
what they think.
Something for eternity, you know.
Yeah. You know, and we'll get them on. We're going to see them at Michigan Paracon, so I want them to come
excited.
In. And I want them to talk about Billy and...
Yeah. I you know, that's... We have to do a whole show just on Billy.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, but there again, you know, objects can be possessed in very different ways. Whether let's like the soul flames where they have an object next to the body, you know. Now, what about I know you know a little bit about this, but what about dolls? What do you think the idea behind getting a doll possessed is?
This is my thought. Because dolls represent children or mm-hmm. infants or you know, that youthfulness or you know, just innocent time. My theory is, I don't know so much as ghosts haunt a doll. I think it's either something more malevolent or darker or a demon or a devil, because knowing people are going to attach themselves to dolls, they're going to keep dolls with them, represents a human life. You know, children like to play with dolls, so they're able to get into these things. And, you know, like famous dolls, like we've done, you know, shows on haunted dolls, Robert the doll.
Yeah.
But that was Peggy.
Robert was a little different because Robert was made by a woman mm-hmm. that put the spirit into the doll.
Okay.
If you remember.
Yeah.
So that's just like, you know, like we were saying with the ghost flame or the soul flames, you know, maybe she knew that she was leaving him. She was, you know, wanted to make a doll for him.
It sounds very much like almost like a voodoo.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
type thing. But, you know, just like these crying boys, they're small, innocent children with tears down your face. How could you not look at that and feel compassion for it?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you let your guard down and you open up your emotions, that's when you get, you know, the darker forces are trying to get in mm-hmm. into your psyche. They're going to try to possess you. They're going to try to attach themselves to you. So why wouldn't they use something that's going to invoke your emotions?
And what better way to bring out emotion than burning someone's house down?
Yeah, really. That's just trying to kill them because they want their souls, right? They're soul collectors.
Yeah.
Interesting that, you know, they have tried many times to burn these pictures. There's even videos of them trying to burn them, and they won't burn. They just won't burn. Did they even have fire retardant shellac in the 50s?
I don't know. That's like, one of the theories is that he shellacked them after he painted them in a fire retardant material.
Yeah, but I think shellac is like super flammable. Anytime a chemical is going to leave a, you know, some kind of flame, there's different chemicals give off different color flames, you know, like,
but
I don't know.
I do know that the one experiment where the person burnt the painting on camera, where the source of the fire was, burn a hole in the actual painting itself, but away from the fire, it didn't travel. The fire didn't consume the whole painting. It just where he had the fuel next to the painting, it burnt a hole in the painting, but the painting itself did not catch on fire.
That's interesting. Of those original paintings, you know, you wonder, like, okay, who's, where are they at now? Mm-hmm. Who has them? Are they for sale? And if they're for sale, how do you authenticate this is one of the original 65? Like,
well,
because people repaint them, you know, by numbers and
they
stuff.
They did make a lot of copies of them, but they're printed copies. So you can tell the prints from the originals.
Yeah. I'd like to know if anybody of you guys out there, does any of our listeners have a copy of, you know, one of these that you want to, you know, share your story on? Or do you have a painting in your house that you feel has an attachment or a spirit trapped in it? You know, there's always going to be somebody online trying to sell one of these, right? But
I should have looked it up on eBay.
Yeah, just do your due diligence and make sure that, you know, you're not just not buying something because somebody claims it's, you know, haunted. Do your research and make sure that that's a hard thing about
that
buying
goes,
something online.
Well,
you
that
know?
Goes
like,
with everything else. Yeah. So you don't just buy something out of just by saying, if someone says this is haunted, it's go ahead and buy it. You know?
Yeah. Like don't waste your money. Yeah. You know, take your money and go to a haunted location. or buy a book from somebody who wrote about paranormal and support the paranormal that way, right?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. No, they say that, like, if you go to Venice, you may see some of these paintings. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if there's any museums that has them. And I'm wondering,
I wouldn't doubt it.
If museums around the world, what kind of paranormal activity happens around the paintings, you know? Like, you've got masterpieces. And even that report. Okay, so when Notre Dame, the cathedral burned,
yeah,
there were things that did not burn.
Okay.
The crucifix didn't burn. The altar didn't burn.
Oh, really?
Some of the paintings didn't burn. Everything else around it is burning.
Hmm.
Interesting, huh? I mean, how many times have we seen or heard stories of fires at churches and the Bibles don't burn?
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know?
Even in cars.
It's like, is it protecting? Is something protecting that, you know, mm-hmm. that photograph of the young boy or you know, in a case like where everything burns except
you know,
the
you
Bible.
Think about that, too. It could be the good versus evil thing where
mm-hmm.
the evil is making the fires, but the good is protecting the photos.
Yeah, and that reminds me of that case of that young boy that we talked about on one of our shows at, was it Waverly? Where the
oh, yeah.
black mass yep. came and encompassed him, mm-hmm. that doctor was torturing him. Something came and protected him.
Yeah, I mean, everybody says that black mass, and did they call it the creeper? I can't remember. Yeah, but they always say that black mass is evil, but yet it protected a boy that was being tortured.
But these paintings, is something protecting them?
I don't know. That's a good theory.
Yeah. A new theory, Joe. I came up with it myself. All by myself. You know, just, I think it's interesting, though, you know, like, if there are any current documented cases of fires associated to this.
The last info I could find on this was the article in the Daily Magazine in 1985.
That there was a local firefighter in the area of these fires
yeah.
in England. That there were over 50 fires connected to the paintings.
Yeah.
50 fires.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fires.
Where the paintings survived all the fires.
You know, and that's just in England. I'm sure that some of those paintings have gone all over mm-hmm. around the world by now.
And is it? Like we said before, is it just the originals or the copies? Do the copies hold up against fires also?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think it would just, the original.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? I mean, it's a tulpa. You could create something just by saying, okay, this painting is associated with this, and you put so much energy into it,
mm-hmm.
and boom, your house goes on fire. Do you remember when the apartments caught on fire behind us?
Several times.
Like three times. That was scary. I saw people jumping out of the windows, people throwing their pets out of the windows. That was really scary.
I tell you, you know, I don't know when they were built. I mean, it was...
They were in the early 80s because where we lived when we grew up, there was a cornfield and then there was a drive-in theater. Yeah. But after the drive-in closed, they built apartments back there, so it had to have been late 70s yeah. early 80s.
It had to be in 70s because growing up I don't remember the field.
Mm.
You know, but anyhow, these apartments that caught on fire, all the carpeting and everything that was in there was extremely flammable, and it went up so fast.
Oh my god, people were in there. I remember, and it was like when the big one happened, I was like 7 or 9 years old, and mm-hmm. I remember waking up and it was really hot in my bedroom, and I saw like glowing flames on the walls, and I was like, I thought my bedroom was on fire, mm-hmm. and I looked out and I ran downstairs. There were people jumping out of the windows in their night clothes and their underwear, people panicking, you know, trying to throw their pets.
Yeah.
I remember a German Shepherd on the third floor. Somebody threw their dog out the window. And mm-hmm. man, I'm telling you right now, that was a scary.
Yeah.
You think paranormal scary, man. Watch somebody, you know, trying to jump out of a window from a fire. That was rough.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
rough,
somebody.
Rough.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean like that. But you know who else has a lot of objects, like antique objects, is Kimberly Poppy.
Yeah.
And we met her last year at Michigan Paracon.
Purple Power.
And she was on our show, and she's just an amazing lady, but she's been in the antiquing business her whole life.
Third generation, yeah.
And, you know, she just had interesting theories about antiques and haunting. So if you guys get a chance, go back and listen to that show, because it was really interesting. And I follow her on Facebook, and I just think she's amazing, and she's still out doing it, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And she's doing the circuit where she talks, goes to the paranormal conventions, mm-hmm. and talks about it. And I know we'll see her again at the convention.
We're gonna have to ask her about this crying boy painting.
Well, let's make it a point to get her on the show, yes. and talk about antiques and paranormal again.
Yeah, like we have a lot of people we need on the show, right? And you know, if you guys have experiences with like haunted paintings or any kind of paintings in your home, let us know. Like,
yeah,
leave us a message on our Facebook page, because we love that stuff. And you know, if you have something that you'd like to maybe come tell us your experience on the show, catch up with us in one of our conventions.
Yeah, I did get a call in on our hotline.
Ooh.
About a girl that she actually had the same thing that you had, where she woke up and there was someone standing in her bedroom. So I'm going to work on getting her on. Maybe we can do a 10-minute or a 15-minute talk with her. But she did remind me that our greeting for the hotline says that if you have any Christmas stories, you
we got to change that.
I got to change it.
Well, in 6 months, we won't have to change it, right?
Oh, yeah.
This sort of year like, is almost halfway over.
It's like my clock in the kitchen.
Right, twice a day.
One thing that we want to mention before we let you guys go is we are hosting a Toledo, Ohio Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention October 18th.
12th.
Is it? I got the wrong date down here. October 12th here in Toledo.
Yes, presented by us. This is our event.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just like showing up and being celebrities. We are doing all the work.
Well, I'm still showing up.
Well,
and
Joe
being a
is. He's going to wear like a silvery lame suit and walk around and be like, "What's up?" No, but anyways, Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention is going to be October 12th, like Joe said. Great time. We are really, really excited because, you know, there's a lot of paranormal conventions you go to, but we really want to focus on Bigfoot, cryptids, the Lake Erie area, mm-hmm. and what happens here. So we have some amazing speakers that, you know, we can't divulge our big one yet, but
we're still
working on it.
I know we mentioned it a few weeks ago, but it's like,
these things take time, you know, you gotta negotiate, you gotta
send the paperwork, then get paperwork back, and send paperwork.
But anyways, it's going to be great. We have Steve Ward locked in. We have Shatan Noir locked in. We have Don Allison, who speaks about the ghosts of Gettysburg, which kind of is in the, you know.
He's our paranormal speaker.
He's from Ohio, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. You guys would love hearing from him. But, you know, just stay tuned because we really want you guys to come out. It's going to be an affordable event. It's only $10 to get in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pay at the door. We don't have to worry about, you know, getting your ticket early. There'll be plenty of entries. Kids under 12 are going to be free. So if you want to bring your family out, it's going to be a really fun time.
Yeah.
You know, like learn some things about Bigfoot.
We got some great vendors, but we still have spaces open.
Yes.
So if you are a Bigfoot enthusiast or Bigfoot team, an author about Bigfoot,
a state park who has Bigfoots in their area.
You know, if you want to become a vendor, let us know. Yeah. We'll mail you we can email you the form, but you have to mail it back.
Yeah,
we need the copy.
Well, you got to sign it, kids. but no, you know, looking for vendors. But Joe, you know, this is what's exciting.
What?
We're going to have a raffle.
Oh, a raffle.
So I'm putting together a really, really exciting Bigfoot-themed basket you can come and try to win. It's going to be all kinds of goodies in there. Fun time, good time. You know, we have it centrally located. It's going to be right off I-75. So if you're traveling from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, California, wherever you're coming, come on in.
Yeah.
We'll talk squatch.
That's a big thing. You know, come to the event. I know we say it a lot, but all these events that we go to, you come to it so you can talk to like-minded people.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
I hear that all the time where people are like, I'm surprised that, you know, nobody thinks we're weird. Well, we're all weird.
Oh, yeah. I'll have a count. You know, like, this is your thing. Like, if you want to go to a baseball card show to talk about baseball, you go there.
Yeah.
Right? It's an accepting community. We're all very open-minded people. We have a lot of different theories. You respect other people's theories, but you know, we're just open to exploring different avenues of different things. And, yeah. and, you know, Bigfoot's a hot topic right now. You know, like, there's a lot of shows out there. There's a lot of conventions. There's a lot of sightings. Yeah. There's been a ton of sightings mm-hmm. lately. I'm trying to say.
Another one, too, is there's been a lot of Mothman sightings lately. You know, Chicago and all that. And mm-hmm. Steve Ward is a Mothman expert. Come out and talk to Steve Ward.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting things he has to say. And then Shatan, you know, she has a new book out. It's coming out. She studies and talks about cryptids that are around Lake Erie. Yeah. So she's going to encompass.
Lake monsters and stuff.
Yeah, lake monsters. Different types of like Dogman. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of Dogman sightings. There is a Michigan chapter of Dogman. You know, there's some interesting things going on mm-hmm. out in the world. I mean, people are being more open to what is unexplained. So come out and just have a great time. Talk to some people. Learn some people. Stuff. You know, maybe if you don't know anything about it, great. Come on in and learn something. Maybe mm-hmm. if you know a lot about it, come on in and talk to some people. You know, like, let's just get it together. I must have had a lot of caffeine because right now I'm just like going on and on.
So with that,
sorry.
Let's leave everybody with some Dead in Five.
All right.
So off the new CD.
New CD.
And for the Crying Boy paintings, I dedicate the song Shattered Faces.
All right, everybody.
From Dead in Five.
We will talk to you next week. Have a great week.
Stay tuned next week for a really interesting story that involves giant gates.
Oh my gosh.
Lots of clouds and some heroin.
All right, kids. It's going to be a good one. Talk to you next week.
Goodbye. In the days of this glorious time, I don't know if it's heroin or cocaine.
Don't know. Find out next week.
Oh, okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.